Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a family who was on vacation, probably like some of you have been, heading west out to Yellowstone National Park. They were heading west on I-90, about 15 miles east of Wall, South Dakota, you know, a place where the water's free. Family was looking forward to a week of camping, of hiking and fishing. But the one thing that they didn't realize is that the family car had a torn CV boot. And after driving thousands of miles, the front axle finally snapped. Now, thankfully, Dad was able to safely pull over to the shoulder, and just some frazzled nerves as the only injury. But that left the family stranded. Stranded on I-90, 15 miles to the nearest town. Now, Mom and Dad, of course, tried their cell phones, but their phones were so old, they didn't get good reception, so they waited in hopes that someone would stop and offer them some assistance. They waited. It's hot, it's humid, kids in the car are getting restless. Dad is standing outside the car. Well, look, he sees an ambulance coming down the road. But the thing is, instead of slowing down when it comes near the family, the ambulance just keeps driving by. Kids are wondering what's going on. Dad tries to reassure the kids that probably couldn't stop because there was someone in the back who needed medical attention. But don't worry, for sure, the ambulance radioed to the police department so that someone would be coming to help. Time passes, 10 minutes, 15, 30, then an hour goes by. Finally, a police car is seen on the horizon heading down the road, and the dad says to the kids, "All right, kids, help is here." But to the family's shock, the police car drives by too without even stopping. The family is crushed, overcome with despair. They've been waiting for over an hour now with no help at all. But then all of a sudden, a junky old car comes down the road and it pulls up right behind the family. And out of it comes a man of Middle Eastern descent with a turban on his head. Dad quietly tells the family to lock the doors and roll up the windows. The man walks up to the car. He has something in his hands, but the dad couldn't quite see what it was. And his adrenaline starts pumping. His hands are sweating as he prepares himself for the worst. To his surprise, the man was carrying a few bottles of cold water. And he gives it to the kids and talks with the dad about the car. Now, it was the last guy that the family had expected to pull over and offer help, but that's what happened. After a few minutes, this man gets back into his car, drives down the road, and 45 minutes later returns with a tow truck. The family gets towed. After a little while, the mechanic, who just happened to have the parts in stock, was able to complete the repair. It's late now. As Dad goes to pay the tab for the tow and for the repairs, the mechanic just shakes his head and says, "It's been paid in full. You're all set. The guy who came and got me took care of the bill already. He only asked that I give you this." And then he handed the father a small piece of paper that was folded over. The dad opened it up and it read, "Go and do likewise." Tears welled up in the dad's eyes as he turned back to his family and told them what the stranger had done for them. They were all amazed at this man's merciful actions to them, and at the same time, a little embarrassed over their initial reaction to him. They loaded back into the car, and they headed down the road. And as they were doing so, they were talking about different ways how they might go and do likewise. For this family who was stranded and who experienced this mercy and this compassion of a stranger, I guess that the likelihood of them actually going and doing likewise would probably be pretty good, wouldn't you? I wonder about that expert in the law that we read about in Luke's gospel for today. Now, here's a guy who sits at Jesus' feet and questions him about eternal life. and then seeks both clarification and justification on his definition of neighbor. Who is my neighbor? And so this man heard Jesus tell a story about an unexpected hero, an unexpected neighbor. Not a Jewish priest or Levite, as a Jewish man who is hearing this story might expect, but rather a hated Samaritan, a man who is not part of God's people, and therefore was looked at with scorn and disdain and distrust by the Jewish people. This is the one who, in Jesus' parable, shows mercy and compassion when others who should have helped walked right on by. This unlikely Samaritan demonstrates what a true neighbor does. He has mercy and compassion, and out of that, he acts. You know, the lawyer hears a story from Jesus about Jesus. Though he might not have realized it at the time, this lawyer is hearing about the compassion and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and seeing how he acts towards those who are laying by the proverbial side of the road, half dead. And I wonder, does this lawyer see himself in the story that Jesus is telling? Does he see himself as a man who is wounded, robbed of his life, and left for dead in his sin? Does he see Jesus as the Samaritan who pays with his life and death to bandage and care for his wounds and to grant him new life? Does he see the mercy and the compassion of God in Jesus as he poured himself out for us all on the cross? Because that's ultimately what this parable is about. It's about Jesus, who is the best neighbor to humanity, who was robbed of all good and left for dead, and was mercifully cared for by our unexpected Savior, Jesus. Does this lawyer go on to live in faith in Christ, loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Does he go and do likewise by loving his neighbor as himself, by showing mercy and compassion to others as Christ Jesus had done for him? Well, I wonder. Scriptures don't really say much more about the lawyer than what we just read. What about you? Can you see yourself in the first story of a family stranded on the side of the road? Can you identify in their situation? Stuck on the side of the road with no one to help. And do you see that how this illustrates the reality of our sin? That we are literally stuck in it, unable to help or rescue ourselves. Do you see how that Mideastern man, on a small scale, shows forth Christ's mercy and compassion for you? I got to admit, it's probably a poor attempt at a modern equivalent to Jesus' original parable, but I think it gets to the heart of the issue. For the goal is to see yourself in this second story as you see yourself in Jesus' first story. That's what your baptism indicates. Remember that in your baptism, Christ Jesus has brought you into his story. There in those blessed waters, our Lord washed you of the stain of sin. He wrapped you and bound your wounds with his very own righteousness. He paid for your life with his own blood so that you would be his and come under his eternal care. For you were that man, robbed, left for dead on the side of the road. And Jesus, in his great mercy and compassion, has come for you and your care, both now and forever. I pray that you remember what our Lord Jesus has done for you in your baptism, and that the Holy Spirit keeps you in faith toward our gracious and merciful Lord and Savior. want you to go back just again to that story, the family in the first story. It was late at night, and the family continued to make their way west. In the distance, there were some flashing lights. A car had pulled over. The dad, seeking to justify himself, was debating whether or not to stop, seeing as he had no idea who was in the car or what the issue was, when one of the kids from the back seat pipes up, "Hey, Dad, we should pull over and help." So the dad does. Turns out that the guy had a flat tire, and since he was out in the middle of nowhere and didn't have a flashlight, he couldn't see enough to get his spare tire on. So Dad pulls up behind him, puts the brights on, helps change the tire, and offers to follow the man to the next town. That man was extremely thankful. Dad gets back into the car, and the kid in the back seat says, "I'll bet that nice man who helped us would be proud of you, Dad." "I know I am." "Go and do likewise." You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's it. You'll notice that in Luke's gospel, Jesus never actually gives the lawyer a straight answer on who his neighbor is. That's because your neighbor is everyone. It might be the guy stranded on the side of the road looking for help. It could be a family that's in need. It could be folks who use the food pantry. It could be even those who dislike you or want to do you harm. Your neighbor is those who you are surrounded by. Your neighbor is anyone God puts right in front of you. And those who are around you need Christ's mercy and compassion that was first shown to you, so that it might now shine on them through you. Jesus is the one who calls and empowers us to love our neighbors, because in love, in mercy, and in compassion, he first loved us. That's how we are to go and do likewise. And I tell you, if we continue in faith toward God and love for our neighbor to the end, our Lord will express his pride in us, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have gone and done likewise." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is merciful and compassionate to us. Amen.